fired at the time of Montgomery County, where's not Montgomery?
Persecuted.
Dustin and Audie have gotten to the point with a great grouching during January, they'll put shoes on, you know. All right, by the way, that was really good singing tonight. And, you know, one of the comments that visitors often make about this church is the singing. Now, back when Roscoe Snell came in here, this Pam Wolfram's good friend, he had some friends of his that he hadn't seen in years who go to some of these churches that are more the new versions and all the other music and that. But they came here, they were polite, wonderful people, but one of the marvels, and I listen to them privately marvel over the singing in this church. They've been taught for so long that these kind of churches are dead and that everybody's bored at them and that kind of stuff. I think, Nick, you were even told that, weren't you? Don't go there. It's just old people that are bored, you know. And so, Tim, you're an old person that's bored. You don't know that, all right? Trevor, you're an old person that's bored. You don't know that, but you are, all right? But but the thing is, it has been a blessing here. And if you haven't noticed, it's under attack with two of the finest ladies, Miss Melinda and Mrs. Hain, both being under attack as far as piano players, okay? And that really was a challenge to this church. And God has been gracious in lifting up Miss Amy and Miss lifting up Miss Gracie. And Autumn's in the wings there, Autumn Morey, she's back there furiously practicing, waiting to come out swinging that sword, you know, when the time comes or whatever else. But it's been a blessing. And both of them have stepped up and it's been work on their part, all right? It's not that they just snapped their fingers and stuff, but they've labored to do that. And so you folks pray for them, all right? It's been a wonderful thing to see that working that way. And Audie will sneak in here and she'll, I always tell her, turn the heat on, Audie. You know, it's 28 below zero when she's trying to play the piano back there. And, but you know, it's a blessing. And just pray because in all seriousness, what's happened to Miss Hain, what happened to Miss Melinda was an attack on this church, okay? And one of the joys that this church has and the music that God gives. And yet again, God's used that to raise up these other ladies. And anybody else that feels you might want to tickle those keys and learn how to play, all right? Be a good thing. All right, turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, we're going to go to verse 7, controversial verse only in the sense that the new versions just don't put it in there, okay? They don't see a need for it, so they don't put it in there. And Dick Ruggles, would you be so kind as to pray for this service?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being able to gather all of you tonight, Lord. We just thank you for looking after us in that way, Lord. We pray that you take this time
by the way, I didn't mention it, but we do have the calendars here now. We're able to use the church printer and print them off, so there are calendars over here. And Thursday the 4th, somebody named Ruth Ann has snacks. All right, but she's got the snacks. And but then it shows you the order of where things will be done from that point on. All right, so 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay? Now, there's just very few verses that ever more clear on the Trinity, and you can see why if the devil was against our God, where all the new versions would take that out. Okay? And I'm not here necessarily to defend that verse or anything else other than say I know it's in the Word of God. Okay, but what I do want to do, I want to discuss this idea of the Holy Ghost. Now, we've had two preachers, or Ronnie doesn't really call himself a preacher, but he came up here and he talked during the men's meeting, did a good job. But he also learned when you're up here and you have all these diverse, what do we have, five or six different churches in attendance, and some good men of God here. And but, you know, Ronnie said a couple of things that I know They just weren't able to swallow. It's not that it wasn't the truth.
It was.
Okay? It was the truth. Now, one of the rules in teaching is this, and it's really a rule of communication. It's not as much what you say that's important, it's what the other person hears. If you want to be a successful communicator, you need to be watching their eyes and their ears and watching it go in, and does it click with them? Okay? Otherwise, you become like a Charlie Brown Christmas. What's the teacher song like? Wah, 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 wah. You know, any adults in Charlie Brown, just that's all it was, okay? And so it's part of that teaching. Now, Brother Tim McVeigh, if I were to pick two preachers today, alive in the 21st century, that I have hope in, really, I could pick three right now, young preachers. By young, I mean men in their 40s. Now, to me, that's young. All right? That's young. And I was born in the 1950s. All right? Jim was born in the 1940s, you know. But the thing is, they were born in the 70s. That's babies. All right? But David Vernon's one. Tim McVeigh is one. And Dale is another one. I have hope in this country because of those three men.
Yes.
Okay? I do. And almost everywhere I go, there's Baptist pastors who are good men. I'm not talking about the slackers and the huggerlings and that kind of thing, who all know that something's wrong out there. They know it. They're struggling in their own churches and they know something's wrong. And one of the great works that Brother McVeigh has done is he's out there and slowly building a network of these churches. And as his brother-in-law, Ricky Black Jr. said, the pastor down there in Manassas, Blaine, Pennsylvania, said, Brother McVeigh's great strength in is being able to go to preach to any group of people and pick up where they are and bring them from there. Now, that is a tremendous strength, okay? What a wonderful thing. But let me tell you something. Part of the reason he has that ability is because his brother-in-law, who is now his pastor, Ricky Black Jr., pastor of the Manassas Baptist Church in Blaine, Pennsylvania, chewed him out. And he chewed him out. And he said, but you just come in here and you blast us with these statements. You blast us. And then you walk away, okay? They may be true statements, but we just were left holding the bag with these statements. And Brother McVeigh is a wise man. When he was reproved, that made sense to him. He realized, oh, you just can't come in here and hit people with something, and whack, okay? Now, Brother Dale, everything he preached on Sunday is 100% accurate. But there were some blasts in there, okay? There were some things where there were some people sitting here that didn't hear it. Why? Because it was wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. It was exactly right. That's why Dale Morey's in this church still. Why? Because God has great plans for the man. Okay? God's going to do wonderful things with that man unless he completely throws it out. And the last I talked to him, he wasn't planning on completely throwing it out. Okay? Has no such plans to do that. But it's one of those things that I go back to that thing Bill Randall used to say, if you're going to be destroyed, I want you to be destroyed here, not out there. Okay? It's one of the reasons that the men he does have and did send out there were strong in the faith. Now, Ruth Ann and I know a man that owns a greenhouse, Bruce Houghton, and people pass, he's in Lindenville, Vermont, and people will pass two or three greenhouses to buy his plants. And when you ask those people, why did you pass all those other greenhouses in St. Johnsbury and all those other places and come there? Because what Bruce does is he takes all these tender plants and he'll open those greenhouses and bring them almost to the point of death. And then run out there, close those greenhouses and warm them up and such and save those plants. And by the time you get one of his plants, they can handle a Vermont spring. You can put them out there. If there's a chance that they'll handle that surprise frost, which can happen in June in Vermont, And, you know, and it can handle one of those things, his can. Why? Because he's brought them to the brink of death. He brings them to that point, okay? It's an effective way with preachers. I've watched Dale come a few times to the brink where you wonder, is he going to make it through this? Yes, he does make it through it. Two reasons. Number one, he wants to. Number two, he's God's man. Okay? He's God's man. God's man on Sunday preached to you things that were accurate, but Pastor Hain realized right away, I'm sitting out there, what I watch is the bubble over people's heads. You know, like they're showing a comic book and you see what people are thinking. And I'm watching that bubble over people's heads. Okay, what's this person getting, what that person getting, what's this person getting, what's that person getting, okay? So I want to teach tonight on the Holy Ghost. And again, what Ronnie said and what Dale said is 100% accurate, okay? It is. You can't find one flaw with what they said. But for some of the people, okay, why do we have a shoehorn? So you put that in there and that foot gradually go in there. You can't just jump into your shoes. It doesn't work, all right? Yeah. Gradually put it on, all right? Teaching knowledge is the same way. Randy criticizes himself sometimes because he has such a hard time grasping certain concepts. He'll come to me over and over. We had one thing we went over, dealing with a financial issue, and me explaining it to him two or three different times, I could just see the light didn't come on. Now, Randy is like my son-in-law, whose brain is really a little sharper than the average person, but as a result, the Lord had to put it in there a little sideways, all right? Doesn't quite fit like other people's do. And so, you know, you go plug something in and it's not quite the same place, you're going to plug it in everybody else's. Doesn't make it wrong, it just makes it different, okay? Yeah. Now, I mean, how many times have you heard me say that, Randy? It's not the way that you think is wrong. It's just you're in the minority in how you think, okay? So everybody else sees it wrong, okay? I was talking to him the other day, and I said something to him, used a simple illustration. He said, I got it. He said, there it is. He saw it. Suddenly the light came on. He got it, okay? Now, you know what one of the strengths is to Randy? Once he has something, it's never gone. It's there forever. A lot of you aren't that way, okay? All right, with Randy, once he gets it, takes 10 times as long for him to get it. But once he's got it, it's over. It's done. He's got it. You'll never have to deal with that issue again. It's there forever, okay? So when you're preaching to people, everybody out there is looking at it a little differently. One of the most frustrating things to a pastor is something that maybe he's had it for a hobby horse for a while, been preaching on. An evangelist comes in, says the same thing, and three people come up, that was just wonderful, I never heard it before. They're not lying. They never heard it before. They sat out there all that time, but they never heard it, okay? Never, and so, again, it's one of those things, you know, someone will ask me a question, and I'll scratch my head, and I think, haven't I been on that for like 10 weeks or something? Yeah, but they didn't get it, okay? My job is for you to get it. That's what my job is. My job isn't up here to just go up here and talk and talk and talk. Though I love talking and talking and talking. You probably noticed that. But my job is to see to it that when I'm done, you understand what I got. Again, I've said this before, but I sat through a federal court case one time. And when it was done, our side lost. And the judge reproved our lawyer and said, sir, you should have polled the jury. What does that mean? You should have, before you sent this to the jury, you should have asked each one to explain what this case was about. That judge rightly believed they never got it. They never understood, okay? You're sitting there arguing with them, but their brain's in the wrong place right now. They're not getting what you're saying to them. If you're mothers and you've ever tried to talk to children, you know that, okay? You stand there, you know, talking to them and they're just not getting what you're saying. And I remember one time being in high school and there was some pretty girl, I just finally got the nerve, I was gonna talk to her. And we were sitting together in study hall and I had this long, and I explained this thing to her and she was paying attention so earnestly to me. And I got done, she said, did you know you said, you know, 41 times? She didn't have a clue what I said. I remember just leaving there, oh, you idiot. So a lot of times when you think you're communicating, the other people you're not communicating with. Now here's what I want you to understand. In a King James Bible, the Trinity is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. Okay? Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Two different times it's stated that way. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus Christ said this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." There again, there's that Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, once in a while I'll go to a family gathering and someone sees me that hasn't seen me in 30 to 40 years, 50 years sometimes, and they'll say, "Hey, Johnny Mark, how are you?" All right. Normally, when you hear Johnny Mark, we're thinking of John Mark over here. But as a child, that was my name, John Mark, Johnny Mark, or whatever else. And that's what I was. I haven't been called that in 50 years. But they see me, that's what they call me. And you want to know something? They'll die calling me that. Okay? Older preachers are going to use the term Holy Spirit for Holy Ghost. They're just going to do it. Okay? That's just going to happen. Are they bimbos or wrong? No, they're not bimbos or wrong, okay? That's how they heard in seminary. That's all they heard in Bible college. That's all they heard growing up. That's all they heard in the pews. That's all they heard in the preaching and everything else. It's all they've said for 50 years, okay? And I remember one time going up to an older preacher. I heard him preach, and I went up to him, and I reproved him over something that he said. Boy, I went in a beeline to the pulpit, said something to him, and I was right. And I'll never forget him looking at me. "How long did you have to study that?" "Oh, I told him I've been on that for years. And you want me to get it in a minute." All right? That was a great statement. Put a young preacher down, okay? Show you, hey, you know, maybe you're right. But don't expect me to come up here and, you know, bow at your knees or, you know, bow to you or something right off the bat. It's not going to happen, okay? So just keep this in mind. When I train a preacher, Dale's being preached, he's going to say Holy Ghost, okay? Ronnie's going to say Holy Ghost. I'm going to say Holy Ghost, all right? You're going to hear, Pastor Haynes isn't going to do that, okay? He might, I mean, if he thought about it a long time and walked up here and said it to himself 100 times, he might have come up here and say it, okay? But he's going to probably say Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's how he's been trained all his life, okay? He successfully has raised a family, pastored a church, and done all those things. It's just going to happen, okay? But I sit there when both Ronnie and Dale make that criticism. I got older pastors sitting there. I'm kind of, you know, fingernails down the chalkboard, you know, type of thing. And again, but it's not that they're wrong, okay? But be careful when you have something. Now, let me explain this. The Holy Ghost is a Germanic saying. What do you mean by that? For whatever reason, Germanic languages, Dutch, Anglo-Saxon, English, Afrikaans, German, and many other languages that branched out of there, use the term Holy Ghost. The Nordic languages don't. Swedish and Norse don't do it. French and Italian don't do it. Greek and Hebrew didn't do it. Okay? Neither one of them say Holy Ghost. In Greek, it's the word pneuma, okay? But pneuma can mean the spirit of a man, can mean the spirit of God, okay? It can mean a number of different things. So what the Germanic languages did is whenever they saw the third person of the Trinity pulled out, okay, on his own, standing by himself, here you are, we've isolated you, Holy Ghost. When it's the influence of that person, okay, Holy Spirit. All right? It's something your King James Bible does, your Luther Bible does, your Afrikaans Bible did, the Anglo-Saxon Bible did, the Dutch Bibles do. I believe it is a tremendous strength, okay? Because it allows you to differentiate between when God is speaking about, well, let's put it this way. The Apostle Paul said, I am with you in spirit, even though I'm physically not with you. I paraphrase that. Was he really with? In spirit, he said he was. Okay? Therefore, the spirit of Paul is different than Paul. Okay? And yet it is Paul, but it's different than Paul. Okay? God has a spirit. It's a spirit the entire Godhead shares. It's called the Spirit of God. But in the King James Bible, the Holy Ghost is a person of the Godhead. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 1. And a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said unto him, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So he picked out the third member of the Trinity, and said, Peter, the one you lied to was the Holy Ghost. When you did that, you weren't lying to the Father. You weren't lying to the Son. You were lying to the Holy. Now, they all work together, okay? You know, Ruth Ann and I are a team. If you come up and lie to her trying to sell something to our house, really you lied to us, but technically you lied to her, okay? And if you lie to me, you lie to me. But there, Peter's narrowing that down. Holy Ghost. You lied to the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Verse 4, where whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So the Holy Ghost is clearly God. Okay? Jesus Christ is God. Okay? Before Abraham was, I am. He said that. They wanted to stone him. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who was one of the Pharisees who wanted to stone him, later wrote, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, okay? They were mad at him. It's robbery. You're thinking you're equal to God. You're robbing God. And they were mad at him because he didn't think it was robbery to be equal to God. Why? Because he's equal to God. He is God, okay? He's God. That's who he is. He's the one that created all things. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. I don't think there's any doubt the Father is God. He's the highest, all right? So, in a Christian Bible, there are three distinct persons who can be identified as God, who work together, who are one, who cannot be contrary one to another, who together say, I am God. Okay? And they share a common spirit called the Spirit of God. Okay? Which is oftentimes synonymous with the Holy Ghost. Now, let me show you that. Before we do that, I want you to think about a principle in the Word of God. When you're finishing up the book of 1 Samuel, and you're in the last chapter, we see the death of Saul. And it's a pitiful death. David and his men mourn over it, and here's Saul, and finally it comes to a point, he says, my life is whole within me. What would happen if the Philistines took him alive? It wouldn't be a pretty death, okay? Not a pretty, you know, the Indians always said of George Custer that he shot himself, they didn't kill him. And lately archaeologists have discovered that was true. They have found enough of the body to realize the last men shot themselves with their last gun. You didn't want those Indians to take you alive, okay? You know, they'd hold you alive for days over slow fires and things. And so, you know, there's Saul, he does not want these Philistines to take him alive. And so he goes to his armor bearer and he begs him, kill me, okay, kill me. His armor bearer won't do it, okay? So this all has to do with the Japanese learned hara-kiri. You got to cut your own guts out. The easiest way to do that, put your sword underneath the diaphragm and fall forward on it, okay? The only way to get the strength to do that, okay? And he did it. But when you read the very next chapter in 2 Samuel 1, an Amalekite comes along and tells David, I killed him. Okay? Saul came to me and said, hey, my life is within me and I can't live. And he said, I looked at him and realized he can't live. So I killed him. He's trying to tell David it's a mercy killing. Well, we have two testimonies. One is a testimony of the Holy Ghost in the narrative. The other one is a testimony of an Amalekite. Which one do you believe? Okay. And yet I have seen preachers who think that's a contradiction in the Bible. Okay. In other words, one is exact truth. When you are reading the narrative of the Bible, okay, and they went here and they went there and they went here and they went there. When you're reading the narrative, those are the direct words of the Holy Ghost and bearing witness to what really happened. Okay? Right. Sometimes your Bible is quoting people. Okay? When it quotes people, then it's as accurate as the people themselves. Okay? And you have to weigh that. It's giving you a true testimony. If I took a tape recorder and taped the kids down there playing foosball, okay? Let's say that I taped them. And they usually just have a lot of fun. There's very little maliciousness or anything else, catcalling, you've all been kids or whatever else. I will have a 100% accurate recording of what they said. But does that mean everything they said is true? No, okay? So many times your Bible records something accurately, but then you have to ask yourself, did this person tell, for example, Jesus Christ's trial. People lied at that trial, okay? All right, but it's the truth. It's telling what the trial said, okay? Now, another place that that comes up, for example, where you have different perspectives in your Bible is when Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 12. With Jesus Christ, John chapter 12, the heavens opened and God spake. Some people heard the voice of God. What did other people hear? Thunder. Well, which one happened? Both. Okay? Some people weren't allowed to hear the voice of God. They weren't allowed to hear it. Others were allowed to hear it. And when they heard it, they heard clearly the words. Preaching's a lot like that. And I really mean that. I mean, there's people who've left here because all they hear is thunder. And if you talk to them, they'll tell you that's all I heard was thunder. Okay? It's just offensive. It's just thunder. It's all it is. And other people have said, those words changed my life. Those words gave me life. Those words made me whole. Okay? And so the thing is that all they heard? Yeah, it's all they heard is thunder. They, you know, and God forbid that I or any other preacher up here will lightly do that and laugh or whatever else. God forbid. Okay? I've had many a time that I've had to be careful when I preach because I have somebody in here who could easily misinterpret things or whatever else. And you have to be so careful with that. But at the same time, I'm not going to change my style completely for one or two people who sit there probably wouldn't be happy anyway, even if I did change and dance the dance they want. All right? I'm probably going to find an offense anyway. But again, watching your audience, who you speak to, even God himself, when he spoke, some people heard thunder, some people heard the words of God, okay? Now, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. This is John, all right? This is John speaking, all right? And Jesus went, and lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw, well, it's telling you what Jesus saw, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, okay? He came to be baptized of John. John saw the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit lighting like a dove upon Jesus Christ. It tells you what John saw, okay? Now, go with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 10. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open. This is Jesus seeing, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus is a man. When he's baptized, what does he see? Same thing John saw. He sees the Spirit like a dove coming down, okay? What's he see? He sees the Spirit of God. He sees the Spirit the entire Godhead shares, the Spirit of God, okay? And he sees that Spirit coming down like a dove and lighting. Now go to John chapter 1. And go to verse 32. John's going to tell you what he saw. Jesus saw it, John saw it. These are men standing there. This is what they see. John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bare record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it bowed upon him." Okay? That's what I saw. Okay? So they all tell you that. Now we're going to look at it from God's perspective. Go with me to Luke chapter 3. Well, let's go to verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Now, did it say this is what they saw, or this is what happened? Isn't that interesting, Dale? What they saw was the Spirit of God coming like a dove. But when God takes men's vision out of it and puts just what happened, he said the Holy Ghost came down. But what did men see? They saw the Spirit of God like a dove descending. And it shows that interplay, all right, and between how the Holy Ghost, who is God, the Holy Ghost is never mentioned in the Old Testament. Okay? So much so that in Acts chapter 19, when 12 disciples of John's are standing there meeting the apostle Paul outside a Jewish synagogue, these are not unlearned men, who are believers because Paul said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" They said, "We never knew there was a Holy Ghost." How could you read the Old Testament and not know there's the Spirit of God? It's in the second verse. Okay? You'd have a hard time. There's probably, I doubt there's maybe the book of Ruth, or maybe the book of Esther is probably the only one that doesn't mention the Spirit of God somewhere or another. Okay? And yet they said, "We never knew there was Holy Ghost." Why? Because in the entire, that's why your Germanic Bibles take that term Holy Ghost when it's that third person of the Godhead, which was never revealed to people before till Jesus Christ began to explain. He's always been working. Peter tells you he's the one that spoke through the prophets. Okay? Paul tells you he's the one that spake the Psalms. Okay? But none of the people there ever understood it was the Holy Ghost. Now, in my talking with a Jew, I think we all know who, and me talking about this idea, I said, "I think it's obvious to you when you read that Old Testament that there are two distinct different persons who speak for God." And he said, "Yeah, there are. two distinct different voices that speak for God. And I said, in reality, there's three. But the other one has stayed back hidden because he's manifesting the second person.
Yes.
He's pushing him out there, showing him. Jesus Christ finally says, hey, there he is. Okay? I remember being in 1980, being at the graduation at Dr. Ruckman's school. I was there for a full 4 months. But I was at the graduation, and at that graduation, and at that time, Dr. Ruckman's tapes were all over the world. That's how I heard him. I was in Europe listening to Dr. Ruckman tapes. So I came to hear and meet the man and hear him. And all of a sudden, he said, hey, he called a man's name. Nobody heard the name. Nobody knew what the name was. Get out here. And finally, some guy comes out, cowboy boots and jeans, and comes out of a back room. He said, see that man there? He said, 20 years ago, he came out of Texas and said, God wants me to record every word you say. And he said, since that time, he said, everything I've ever said has gone all over the world. Okay? And then the guy walked in the back room again. He didn't want anybody to know who he was. Okay? Just quietly said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to record every word you say. Jesus Christ does a similar thing where he said, see that Holy Ghost? He's the one that's been back there. He's that secret one. He's that one that no one knew about. I'm revealing him and I'm showing you, but he won't speak of himself when he comes, okay? He's the comforter. He won't speak of himself. He'll speak of me, okay? That's what he's going to do. You won't find that young man's name anywhere. Some of you have read Oswald Chambers' book, okay? Do you realize he didn't write that? You know who wrote it? B.C. It's a little initial in there. Biddy Chambers, his wife, who learned shorthand before she married him. And when she married him and he's there in Egypt and he's preaching to the troops and she understood the great power of God that was upon the man's life and she recorded in shorthand every word he ever said. And for 40 years after his death, she wrote book after book of nothing but his words. And they're called Oswald Chambers and just this little B.C., Biddy Chambers. Go look her up on the internet. There's a book now, a biography of her. It's one of the most wonderful things you ever read. A person didn't care if her name was ever used and anyone ever knew who she was. That's the Holy Ghost in the Godhead, okay? Who never cares if anybody ever gives him credit, ever does anything for it or whatever else, okay? One of the most godly things. Ronald Reagan, when he became the president of the United States, in the first day he sat at the table and he called everybody and says, we can do great things here. If no one cares, who gets the credit? Okay? If no one cares. Let me tell you something. You know you've achieved something in Christianity when you watch somebody else get the credit for what you've done and you're happy. You're not just putting up with it. You're not just grinding, but you're happy because it's done. Okay? You don't care who gets the credit for it. That's the Holy Ghost. Okay? It's the sign of a spirit-filled life. Okay, so the thing is, in your King James Bible, if you wanted to talk to somebody in French, it's not different. If you wanted to talk to somebody in Italian, it's not different. Okay, if you're going to talk to somebody in Swahili, it's not different. But if you talk to somebody in Dutch, Afrikaans, okay, German, it's different. Okay, it just is. And it's a strength to those languages. So you understand that? So a man standing up here, and you know me, I get real picky over that stuff. All right? And I am. But I'm not going to be picky to the point that I have older preachers come in here and anybody looks down their nose at them. All right? That's not going to happen. And that wasn't what Dale or Ronnie wanted to have happen in a million years, okay? Neither one of them. But it was a danger that could have happened. Okay? That could happen. And God forbid, both of them would have grieved. They'd have torn their clothes if that even a thing like that happened whatsoever. So again, is there hope for the United States? If there is, it's going to be from these pulpits. Somebody's asked me to come. Trent Filer wants me to come and do a Bible conference in April. He's already said it's a challenge. He's already told me it's a challenge, just the things that's going on there. Going to need prayer as far as that goes or whatever else that we preach from the Word of God. And of the three men, okay, that I think that are out there who can make a difference. We have the grace and the pleasure and the honor of training one of them right back there, okay? And you know what? He's a man of flesh and blood who has a lot more mistakes to make. A ton more to make, all right? And if you want to ruin your life, run your mouth on him. Now, there's people out there, even in this church, doesn't bother them to run their mouth on Dale, okay? Doesn't bother them. They'll run their mouth all day long. They have no fear whatsoever. They don't. Why? They can't see the kingdom of God. All they see is Dale. There's people who run their mouth on me. And again, I'd have a hard time if I sat out there not running my mouth on me, all right? My wife will run her mouth on me, to me, all right? All right? But it's part of her job, all right? And such. But the thing is, why do they do it? Because they can't see the kingdom of God. All they see is the outward. And let me tell you something. I'm not all that great if all you see is the outward. All right? Ask my wife what it's like when I get up in the morning. I haven't put my teeth in yet. I'm staggering around in my underwear or something like that. Yeah, you know, it's, believe me, it's nothing great. All right? You have to get on your knees and beg God, show me the kingdom of God. All right? It's a hard thing. All right. Bonnie Skolton, would you close us in prayer?
Our Holy Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this wonderful invitation we learned this evening. And Lord, I thank you for giving us instruction on how to be better communicators about the things that we learned in this church. Father, we learned some hard things here that are hard to communicate. Lord, just bless every heart here this evening. Let us go home safely. Let us return tomorrow night for those who can. Prepare us all for Sunday when we return. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ask you for these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.